So let's take a look at this Gemara together. As we were saying before, what could be more appropriate for a Midar Lidar day and to look at a Gemara that talks about the power of Midos Tovos and particularly modeling Midos Tovos within the family to drive growth and, as the Gemara points out, the lack thereof and what that drives as well. Baruch Hashem, everyone is here. Modeling excitement about learning. Thank you for the chance to share your nachas every day and to share in the nachas of watching you have nachas today. The Gemara here says the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Da'ami Rabbanan. Rabbi Bar Chana is one of the great Talmidim of Yochanan. So he comments on a Mishnah that those of you Davenos Rashnas should be familiar with this. But the three things that Tzar Shlosha Ad Dvar Mitzar Chadim Lomar B'Soch Beis on Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. Three items that a Jew needs to take responsibility for, a Jewish man in a home, needs to make sure are getting done. Yisartem, Eravtem, Adliku Asaner. I want to make sure all the last minute preparations are done for Shabbos. I want to make sure if there's a need to set an Erev Chatzer, so that was taken care of. There's a need to make sure the food is kosher. In Eretz Yisrael, all the fruits and vegetables are not kosher until Meister is taken off. And it's normally something you can do on an ongoing basis in the course of the week. But it cannot be done on Shabbos. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael, part of the preparation for Shabbos is making sure all the Meister is taken care of in advance of coming, and Shabbos coming. And then finally, at Likur Saner, now that everything was done, now that those questions are answered, checklist, checked off the Meister, checked off the Erev, Hadlikos are never ready for Hadlakos Neiros. So Rabbi Ravachana stressed that when the Tanam said, make sure this gets said, make sure this gets done, we don't have the trop on the Mishnayos. You don't get the inflections. Rabbi Ravachana pointed out, the idea is to talk about this in a beautiful way. In a beautiful way, in a sweet way, in a pleasant way. The Divrei Chacham Benachas Nishmam, things that are said pleasantly are impactful. And then Rav Ashi, one of the later Amoraim, said, I didn't hear this as a shtikel Torah in a shir, but I understood on my own. Anola Shmieli, top of Zayim Adolf, Anola Shmieli Hadrav Avrachana, V'kiyam Tim Yisvara. I hadn't heard this until I was an older person, that there was such a shir, a Musar Shmuz Rav Avrachana gave, but I understood on my own. To be pleasant with the people around me, especially the people whom I love. And then Rabbi Abbo talks about the other side of the coin. What happens when things aren't pleasant? What happens when relationships are not ideal? So they can generate, the fractures can run, Rachman Al-San, very deep. Amar Rabbi Abbo, La'ol Ma'yatel Adam Eimi Yaseir B'Soch Deis. The other side of the coin, person should not be frightened, to the particularly the people who are closest to him. Rabbi Abba says, and if you need an object lesson, if you need a dugma, so there was a great man, Rabbi Chinin ben Gamliel, but he was great in many ways, but he had a profound weakness, profound flaw in Midos, it sounds like. He was frightening at home, and they fed him trefa food because of that. They were too scared to tell him what wasn't kosher, and he paid. That was one of the many prices that he paid for this Eima Yisera. Mar says, Hechilu. They fed him. He ended up eating tarfus. The Gemara says, Hashta, Behemtan Shal Tzadik, Kimei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mevi Takal Ayadim. The Gemara here references another, and we saw the Gemara, they tell you on the side, it's a Gemara several places, but particularly Chulin Daf Zayin. Chulin Daf Zayin's Gemara tells the story of a holy tzaddik. I had a chance to speak with one of the grandfathers earlier today about Moshe Chaim Lusato, about the Ramchal, and our particular connection in the Shir to the writings of the Ramchal, to Mesillas Yesharim specifically. Mesillas Yesharim is a sefer that's built entirely, the entire Musar sefer, which is an incredibly ambitious ladder of growth for a Jew, from starting on the ground level all the way up to extraordinary levels of Kiddush and Ruach HaKodesh. The entire Sefer, Ramchal tells us, is built around the single statement of the unusual Tzaddik, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, a contemporary of Yehuda HaNasi, and a very, very great tzaddik. Maseches Avodah Zarah, he talks about one step leads to the next. From Zahirus, you go to Zrizus, to Nikias, and so on and so forth. A step-by-step progression through rungs of ambitious spiritual growth. And that, a Pinchas Ben Yair's single sentence becomes the framework for an entire Sefer Maseches Hashanah. Here's another Pinchas Ben Yair image. His donkey was immortalized. The immortal donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair. Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey has a place in Shas. It's mentioned several places in Shas, including Gittin Dav Zayin. What was the great Yichas of Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey? So the Gemara tells a story at the bottom of Zayim at Alf and Chul, and top of Zayim at Beis. Pinchas Ben Yair is on his way to a mitzvah, on his way to for Pidyon Shvuyim. There were Jews who probably had been captured by pirates. He was going to try and negotiate and ransom their freedom. And the Gemara tells us, we don't have time for the entire Agada, what happens on the way. Miracles happen to him on the way. He negotiates, has to negotiate with a river. And then he finally, after a very, very active and miracle-filled day, he has to stop at a little inn on the way before he can continue the next day towards the location for the Pidyon Shvuyim. And he, we would say he parks his car in the hotel garage. He stables his donkey in the hotel's facilities, and the staffer is supposed to feed the donkey overnight. They come knocking on his door a couple minutes later, and we don't know how to tell us to you, your donkey's not eating. Like, we have, you know, top quality donkey feed, and he's not eating. So Pinchas Ben Yair looks at them and he says, well, is the donkey feed kosher? Do you take miser off of the barley before you fed him? So they're sort of looking at their fingernails or looking at their shoes. It's sort of sheepish, and he says, go take miser from the barley, and then my donkey will be glad to eat. My donkey doesn't eat tray for food. Mm. Wow. So the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer. Tosis points out, Yerushalmi has a different way of looking at it, but the Gemara assumes it's a Kal v'chomer. Even the donkey of the tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the donkey of the tzaddik wouldn't eat the tray for food. The donkey wasn't the Baruch HaKodesh, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the donkey wouldn't eat the tray for food. So the Gemara says, a Kal v'chomer. The tzaddik himself, back inside Gittin Zayin Amidalf, Hashta at the star. Here we are, seven lines to the top. The Hemtan Shal Tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takal Yadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow a spiritual slip-up to happen to the Chamor, the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair. Tzadikim Atzman Lo Kolshkein. Tzadikim themselves all the more so. Yerushalmi toasts his quotes in a couple places. The other Yerushalmi quote, Yerushalmi seems to take the other approach. As some of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael said, we're not in the Madrega of the earlier generations. We're not even in the Madrega of the... they say, you know, if they were like Malachim, we're like people. If they're like people, and the Yerushalmi were Kibbene Adam, we're Kachamorim. Velo, Kachamorim Pinchas Ben Yair. We're like regular donkeys. We're not even like the special donkey in Pinchas Ben Yair. So the Yerushalmi seem to understand that there had been a very severe... You read us Hadoris. But the Bavli understands that Satanam and Amaram, all of them were greater than the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair. So this is a principle that goes in a couple places. You see on the side, I tell you to look in Chulin, to look in Yevamos, look in Ksubas, and here Gittin, the assumption that Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let the tzaddik fall into eating, to doing the Aveira. The Gemara says, how could it be? How do you make sense of this? It makes sense of the story. B'chim and Leo. Exaggerated, we assume it's slightly exaggerated, the atmosphere in his home, and as a result, he ended up eating tray for food. Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed that to happen. Tzadikim atzman lo kolshkein, the Gemara says, well, it must be that they wanted to. Ela bikshu l'achilo davar gadol. They wanted to feed him a great iser. Umayniyu, and what is that great iser? Eiver Menachai. And Rashi explains that they had shechted an animal, and Pinchas Ben Gamliel asked for a particular cut of meat, and if you shecht the whole animal, you have access to all the kosher cuts of meat. But something had happened in the kitchen, that particular part of the animal had gotten ruined, gotten lost, and they were scared to tell him what happened. So they went and grabbed a live animal from outside, and they took Eiver Menachai, and they were going to end up not feeding them. They were preparing to serve that to him because they were too scared to tell him we messed up, we don't have your ribstick, we don't have whatever, we don't have your sirloin, whatever it was that he particularly wanted. So, so now the Gemara's lesson, Rabbi Abba is stressing the other side of the coin. Rabbi Rachana and Rav Ashi were talking about the positive power of a healthy, happy conversation, healthy, happy, holy conversation. Rabbi is saying, and when it isn't that way, you know, who knows what the results may be. And that itself is something of incredible significance. And at the same time, this Gemara is giving us even greater ambition, because also seeing that if a Jew talk is a tzaddik, it can really tap into something remarkable. Now Tosfos looks at this Gemara and says, we have to analyze this, because it's true that as you see on the side, it appears in Yevamos, Ksubos, Gittin, and Chulin, but Tosfos says, but there are a whole host of other Masechtas where the Gemara should have mentioned it and didn't. So did you see any situations where this Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair principle seems to not be in play? Any kashas? Yeah, what do you say? Yeah, give me one. Yeah, what's it going on Shabbos, eh? Yeah. Good. Right. And it's a fascinating Gemara. Right. Shabbos, Yubez, and Yubez. Yishmael ben Elisha wants to ignore that it made a Gzer Drabanan. Don't read Lara Ner, because you get so involved in whatever you're learning or reading, and when the light, the candle starts to flicker, you're going to automatically, at a time when people did this intuitively, you would automatically adjust the candle, which you can do 6 days a week, but Chas V'Sham Matud on Shabbos, that's a Malacha Daraisa. So they made a Gzer, just don't read Lara Han by candlelight, because it's too much of a chance you're going to inadvertently fix the candle. And he said, I'm a big tzaddik. Ani ekrev lo ata. For me, it's not an issue. I'll learn Lara Ner, won't be a problem. And he, like as you said, the Gemara has two versions. Did he actually slip up? Or he almost slipped up, and he realized he caught himself at the last moment. Either way, his response is, well, you know, my chaver were right. This gezeira matters. Tosas says, well, I understand. Wait. How there's a hava mina that he actually messed up. Why doesn't the Gemara make the same comment? How could it be Bentel Shal Tzadikim, the same thing that makes the comment here? Or what else? We'll give me another Gemara, a fresh voice.
Marcus.
Well, yeah, well, good, great. What's the Gemara saying, Marcus?
That he killed an Eid Echad. Eid Zomeim Echad.
Right.
How could he kill an Eid
Zomeim? Right, and this is a remarkable story. In case you said before, Yerushalmi indicates maybe the Amoraim felt they weren't in this Madrega. But Saba mentions that the Gemara in Makos, Heim Beis, goes back to an earlier generation. This goes back to the days of the Zugos. Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon Shetach, those names are familiar from the first parak of Pirkei Avos. Yehuda ben Tabai killed an Eid Zomeim inappropriately. He had forgotten one detail of the halachas of an Eid Zomeim. He had forgotten that the din of Eid Zomeim only applies if you're mazim both members of the pair. And when Shimon Shetach pointed out to him, he was overwhelmed by guilt. He had put someone to death inappropriately. The Gemara talks about the tshuva. He lived, he carried that guilt for the rest of his life. The Gemara describes in very, very powerful terms. So the question is, Chilul Shabbos, Shvichas Damim, he probably wasn't the one who pulled the trigger, but he was Goren Shvichas Damim, a severe chatayim. And the Gemara doesn't say a word about hashta abhendish yadam. Why not? So if we would stop here, what would be the answer? Why is it? How can you differentiate between the case that the Gemara gives in the case of the Gemara Makas that Kadosh Baruch Hu did allow the tzaddik to violate shvichas damim? The case in Shabbos, the Gemara did allow. That, according to one version of the story, allowed Yishmael ben Elisha to violate Chil Shabbos inadvertently. But here in Gittin, the Gemara assumes there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed Chinam Gamliel to actually consume Eivir Men HaChai. Or Gemara in Chul and Davav, they probably haven't seen yet, kind of play the Ma'am Kamos, that Gemara is trying to figure out how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed the Amora to violate eating Demai, a type of food which is treif mijavan. So on the one hand, on the other hand. So how do you differentiate? Why would this principle be in play in the Gemara Gittin in the context of Eid Melachai, the Gemara Chul in the context of Demai, but not the Gemara in Shabbos in the context of Chil Shabbos, not the Gemara in Makkas in the context of Shlichas Damim? What's the differentiating factor?
Machalos
Asuras. Machalos Asuras. Fantastic. So Tosa says Machalos Asuras. Tosa says Machalos Asuras. So that's step one. So, okay, maybe it's only about Machalos Asuras. That raises two types of questions. One is Svara and the other is Gemara. Svara, you have to wonder, why is Machalos Asuras more severe? Chilul Shabbos and Shvichas Damim are Averus Chamurus. Chayiv Misa. Kashrus is severe, but not that severe. Every Menachai is a Chiyuv Lav. Demai is an Issur Rabbanan. So you're onto something. But the question is, why should that? What's the Hesber for the Chiluk? Why should that difference? Why should that distinction matter? And then what else is fascinating is Tosis goes on to quote Tosis here in Gittin Daf Zayin goes on to quote. We're going to wrap up in the next 2 minutes or so. Tosis goes on to quote a second series of Gemaras that talk about food. Gemara in, here, take a look at a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Oh, I see I left that in the copies. I apologize. I left, I put on the front sheet, but I didn't neglect to make copies of it. I apologize. The Gemara Psachim Daf Kuvav Mavez. Psachim Kuvav Mavez, the Gemara talks about a Jew who, a tzaddik, an Amora, who, the Gemara is talking about, what do you do? You're not supposed to eat before you make Kiddush, Friday night, you're not supposed to eat before you make Havdalah, Motzoi Shabbos. So that's the din. Let's say someone inadvertently did eat. So the Gemara has a discussion, if you ate Friday night without Kiddush, can you still make Kiddush, or now you lost your chance? If you ate Motzei Shabbos before Avdalah, did you lose your chance to make Avdalah? So the Gemara tells a story about a particular Amora who ate before Avdalah, and then they said, and he caught himself, he realized he made a mistake, and then the discussion about did he make Avdalah after or not, and that was a proof for the conversation what that din is. He ate before Avdalah. So what he once he realized, so you have to figure out what's the din now in terms of Avdalah. But how did he eat before Avdalah? He ate. Eating b'Isser. Or take a look at a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. This is a far more severe type of eating b'Isser. And it's a very sharp one-liner. Levi ikla, very type of chaval from Rosh Hashanah. Levi ikla bavel b'chadzer b'tishrei. Levi shows up to bavel, the way Tosis interprets the Gemara, probably Rashi as well. He shows up to Bavel on the day that they, on the Bavli calendar, were referring to as the 11th of Tishrei. And he says, Levi says, wow, Basim Tavshila de Bavloi, B'yom Araba de Marava. He had, seems like he had arrived, been right outside of the town. And then he walks in and he says, wow, these Bavlim have really delicious food in Yom Kippur. Because he, Levi, had come from Eretz Yisrael, he knew that that day actually had been declared as Yom Kippur, based on what had been declared Kiddush HaChodesh in Eretz Yisrael, that day was Yom Kippur. But in Bavel they were off by a day, and they thought that it was, they had messed up the calculations, and they thought that it was Chadsa, they thought it was the day after Yom Kippur. So they're all eating, and Levi says, wow, the food is really tasty, Bavli food is really tasty on the day that in Eretz Yisrael is Yom HaRava. Yom Kippur. All the tzaddikim in Bavel were eating Yom Kippur. Inadvertently. But there you have it. So how would you differentiate? So Tosfos, so there are Rishonim who say, okay, forget about the Ramban, says we're going to have to reject the Gelernter Kirshenbaum theory about Achila. There must be some other solution. The Ramban works on other solutions. But Tosfos is Rabbeinu Tam. They quote Rabbeinu Tam in many Masechtas. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who was a devotee of this idea that has to do with eating. Yeah, what would you say, Sam? Can't have a shiur without the good
case,
carrots.
In the first case, there was no Issa, really. There was an Eitzot Tova. Shouldn't create any, shouldn't be a very threatening person in your house. And that is what brought him to the Hefilo Gadol. In the other cases, they actually were Gezeres Rabbanim that were seemingly either ignored, or they actually did something that was actually awesome. In the first case, they didn't do anything. He was a scary guy.
So Sam, of course, is avoiding the Yekesha position, and is taking the approach of the Ramban, who rejects the Yekesha ben Atam. The Ramban in Chul and Dav Zayin says he quotes one theory from his Rebbe and develops more or less what Sam is saying, which is it depends if the tzaddik is clean, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is gonna watch over him. If he's being irresponsible, then he has to bear the consequences of his irresponsibility. So Rabban says, for instance, right, in Masech HaShabbos, they made a Gzeres Rabbanan and you ignored it. You're asking for trouble. So that the Rabban takes a whole other approach. It's nothing to do with eating, it has to do with the responsibility. But let's take a look, yeah? So Tosis says, let's take a look in Tosis. Tosis is the very bottom line. The very last line of the top Tosis in Gittin, of Zion and Aleph. He said at the second line, the very top, the whole problem was only with something having to do with eating. It sounds like it's unbecoming, it's embarrassing for a tzaddik to have eaten something which is trade. Then he quotes, that explains the Gemara in Shabbos, and that explains the Yehuda ben Tabai in Makos, quotes other Gemaras, and then they said, aha, but how about the Havdalah towards the end, Pesachim Kuvav? And how about, here at the very end of Tosu, Rosh Hashanah Chavalev, Basim Tavshil de Bavalai, Biyab Tomer Abed de Marava, Levi's comment that we just saw inside. Tosu's answer, Ben Tom defends his approach, Ein Davar Meguna Kolkach, Achila Shatera B'Shas Ha'isik. It's not as embarrassing to have something which is fundamentally kosher, but at a time when it's awesome. To eat, Demai, to eat Avi Menachai, Mamish, Ashtik Chazer, eating treif, terrible, embarrassing. To eat Yom Kippur is a very severe Aveira, but the food is kosher. You're doing Aveira, but you're not eating treif for food. Certainly to eat before Avdallah, the time is problematic, but the food inherently, that's what Erul Chana explains in Kovitz Biurim here and again, the food itself is kosher. The problem is to eat treif for food. To eat treif for food. So we'll leave off for now with a couple of questions, and then I want to let senior generations go if you want, and we'll head back to continue B'chavrusa, and I'll be glad to take more questions then. No one should feel mechuyev to leave, but I want everyone to have the flexibility to go or not. In thinking about this, Tosis is fascinating, and the Tosis appears in a couple of Masechtas, more or less, sometimes differently sequenced, but basically almost all the same material. And it's fascinating, and it gets you thinking in a number of directions going forward. Number one is, what's this with the maguna? I mean, the chiluk stands out, that it should be a difference between eating and not eating. The Ramban is very sharp. He says, Ein latam zeh lo tam v'lo reach. He says, obviously that's a pun, but he says, like, what does this reason mean? Like, again, like, misvara seems backwards. So it's tray for food. I have gnai. Gnai almost sounds like, we have like an emotional response. Ugh, to eat tray, pasnish. I saw Kodesh Baruch Hu runs his world based on our intuitive sense of pasnish. Shabbos is objectively far worse than Avraham Menachai. Demai is Yisrael Rabbanan. Demai is worse than Ritzicha. So Rabban says the whole thing doesn't hold water. So Bisvar, you got to understand, what does Tosis mean by Gnai? Presumably they mean more than just Pasnish. What do they mean? What would make Achila uniquely problematic? Such that Kadosh Baruch Hu would want the Tzaddik to even violate specific eating kosher food, even inadvertently. Number one, if one's going to defend the position of Tosis. And number two, so if there's something uniquely wrong about something uniquely powerful about the act of eating, so why does it matter whether I'm eating fundamentally treif for food or I'm eating kosher food but at a time when I cannot? Lamaisa, either way, if there's something somehow spiritually worse about eating wrong, eating in a non-halachic fashion. So what does it matter whether the food itself is fundamentally treif or the time is wrong? Either way, this is an eating that should not be engaged in. And number three, yeah?
Because you are what you eat. When a person eats something, it becomes part of him. Also when somebody hears something, again, it becomes part of him. When someone sees something inappropriate, again, it becomes part of him. What you eat, when you eat at a simcha, then you're taking the simcha as a part of you. And similarly, when you eat at a place that, again, like a wedding or something, you're taking the simcha with you. You're taking the actual thing with you. But, the idea is that if a person's eating treifas, then they're actually taking some of the tuma with them.
Right.
And the idea is that it becomes part of your essence. And that's something that is not tolerable for someone who's a real tzaddik.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
And it's essence in him that has tuma in it. And that's something that's not acceptable. You won't find with other things which are really outside the person. And again, what you see, what you hear, all these things come in and they become a part of you. All of your senses tend to make what you are, which is also why it's very important for a person to only listen to proper music, to watch appropriate things, and not to take in things that will effectively, make you less of where you're supposed to be.
So I like the concept. I think we probably need to narrow it a little bit because Tosis doesn't seem to assume that other senses necessarily play the same role. But I like the concept. And you're also probably right that it may be particularly poignant in the context of eating. The Netziv actually won the parallel Gemara's in Shabbos. The Gemara on Shabbos, the Netziv in his Maromai Sada says, and look at the Gemara, the third parak of Yuma, that does talk, as you mentioned, about the particular power of eating to shape us, and particular power of treifa eating to ruin our neshama. So that's one thing we wanted to explore some more. And then we also want to take a look at the going forward. We'll get back to Seder. We'll take a look at the Gemara in Chulin Davav that I mentioned briefly about Demai. And the Gemara, very, very fascinating story. A more involved story with this Behemta Shal Tzadikim, a back and forth. And there's a lot, there's a number of 20th century Achronim, Yosef Engel and Rabbi Chana Wasserman, later the Stipler, point that if you read that Gemara slowly and carefully, that Gemara in Chulin, you put it together, what's going on here, it tells you a lot about the Isser Drabban of Demai, and maybe tells you a lot about Isser Drabban in general. So that's where we're going to head next. I want to take this opportunity once again to thank all the fathers, grandfathers, and brothers for joining us for a special day of learning together, Midar Ladar. I meant seriously what I said before. I would be thrilled. I can't speak for your grandchildren. I'm sure they'd be thrilled too, but I won't deign to speak for them. But MTD, you are absolutely invited to come back as often as you like. It would be fantastic. If you can't come, I understand. If you're intrigued to see how the sugya unfolds further, so you can either ask your grandson for notes or ask him how to keep up with the sugya. For those who are staying, which is all the Talmidim certainly, so we're going to go weiter and head back into the Maror Makomos. So there's plenty more to see. If you didn't see all the Gemaras yet, you're going to want to see them. If you didn't see the Tosis inside yet, we didn't read Tosis just now because of time, you're going to want to see Tosis inside. And then you're going to move on to the second half of the Maror Makomos, particularly that Gemara in Chulin, Daf, Vav, Amun Aleph. Thank you so, so much.
Go ahead.